The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, everyone. Lord knows they'll You're listening try. To the National Intel Report here on this Wednesday, the 21st of September, 2022. I'm your host, Richard Carey. Tonight, I do Beyond the Official Narrative on RBN. That's Monday through Friday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Central. If you haven't checked it out, try to live or in the archive if your schedule requires. But I do try to have a good variety of guests and topics, so please do check it out, and I enjoy caller interaction. But, well, here on the National Intel Report, here on Republic Broadcasting tonight, we have some guests lined up, so you won't have to hear my voice solo. We have a great fixture in independent research and media. He's long time been on the radio doing live shows. Mr. Mike Sledge is here tonight. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, thanks, Richard. Thanks for having me on. Great to be here.
Yeah, great to have you here. And we also have, folks, the man, the myth, the legend. You either love him or hate him. Paul in California. Welcome, Paul.
Well, thank you for the introduction, Richard. And looks like we got it all today. Youth, beauty, and wisdom.
Yeah, we do. And you know, I mean, I realized, you know, Mike, when we were on last week, I was mentioning your background in radio and research. I mentioned you having been a stand-up comedian, you know, in the clubs. I didn't really mention and stress you having had a background in political science, though. I mean, you were really quite serious about that early on. Did a lot of study in that area, you know. And so I should have really stressed that as well to the National Intel listeners. But yeah, you've been gradually getting disillusioned with, you know, the legal system working for the people more and more over your time doing this.
Yeah, nothing works for the people in the United States of America anymore, to be honest with you. The system is broken. The legal system is a joke. It's a fraud. We were on Fetzer's show, Paul and I, earlier, and that was the topic pretty much. But the legal system's a joke. It's a fraud. The political system is just, I mean, you know, if you're still fooled by the two-party system in this country, then you might as well watch wrestling, you know, like WWF or something, because it's basically the same thing. I mean, and I can attest to this, you know, I used to have family in Washington, D.C., people kind of involved in Washington politics, and I can tell you it's a big, I always say this, you know, it's a club, you know, and they're all in it up there, and it's very incestuous, and you know, these people, they get on the House floor, or the Senate floor, and they argue back and forth. But at the end of the day, they're eating dinner together. They're going to the same special interest group dinners and AIPAC dinners. And it really is a scam, and it's just theater. It's kosher theater perpetuated on the American people. It really is. It's a travesty. But we don't have a real political system anymore. We don't have really but one party in Washington, D.C., and the legal system is for the elites. If you're the white working class, or any working class, frankly, in this country, you're not going to get fair representation in the courtroom if you can't afford an expensive lawyer. So, you know, this country, and it was founded that way in many ways. I know that makes people mad to hear that, but in a lot of ways, it was always, you know, this country kind of has always worked to protect the aristocracy, to protect the rich, the elite, and it never really has cared for the working class, to be honest with you. You know, the middle class in this country was basically didn't even exist until we started having policies that were, frankly, recognized workers' rights, a fair wage, the work week. Before that, we had a black lung, child labor, you know, it was slavery, really, to be honest with you. And, you know, so anyway, that's where we're at. It's a travesty, but it's just the reality of the situation, you know.
And Paul, you are a few years wiser still than Mr. Sledge. You've seen a lot in your years in this nation. And with regard to the legal system, my point, how would you respond, sir?
Well, I mean, we have to take everything that Mike just said, but also remember, we have a booming economy. So no worries, huh? We can go just get a job anytime we want. In fact, I've been doing quite a bit of looking here and there the last year or two, you know, different things. And the vast majority of jobs that you see advertised at multiple sites, you know, I don't care if it's Craigslist or Monster or any number of the other ones, right? They're basically 30,000 to 50,000 on average. I would say that's the bulk of them. You might want to check and do your own homework on that. But, yeah, so that's the same way it was back in the 80s, you know, mostly. The jobs were pretty much between 30 and 50,000. So times are good. Let's go out there and celebrate, huh?
So, yes, no, we have these extreme changes in cost of living since the 80s. And, of course, no, really, in a lot of ways, no changes in wages, not keeping up at all with this inflation that just keeps more out of control. And that's always the solution is more out of control spending, money printing. But, you know, the average person is so disconnected. It's no surprise that it was a non-starter when Ron Paul had end the Fed as a slogan. I mean, people can't really understand just how too many economists don't even talk about how the Fed shouldn't exist. They just talk about what the Fed's doing wrong, you know, and what it should be doing to help things. It's just preposterous. As far as though the war situation, not that we have not had plenty of things to put us all in debt and further control manipulation, what with COVID, what with climate agendas, but this war, you know, it's had a lot of us again talking about Putin quite a bit. You know, not that Trump isn't a bit more a buzz, especially with this FBI, boost to his ratings, I guess, as you describe it, Mike. But I don't know. Well, do you want to address, you know, current situation with Ukraine, this war of attrition? You know, it seems like Putin's out to hurt Europe the more it drags on. Why couldn't he just cut off all fuel, you know, early on if he just wanted to get things his way?
Well, something interesting I want to bring up before that real quick. I forgot to send you the link on this, but it's very important. Bill Clinton had a few days ago at the Clinton Global Initiative, that money laundering scheme he runs. He had Larry Fink, the president of BlackRock, on there as his guest. It's quite interesting if you haven't seen that yet. You know, so basically Larry Fink, you know, basically says that, you know, we're going to increasingly set up the financial system again to the social credit situation that we've been talking about and a lot of shows have been talking about. So it was very interesting. He gets into that. He gets into, of course, the Green New Deal, the climate change stuff, basically mentioning that BlackRock is on the forefront of that as well. It's a very interesting interview. So for those listening out there, check out Bill Clinton's interview of Larry Fink. And Larry Fink is, frankly, the most important person you need to know about in America right now. Because BlackRock, I would argue, is, you know, the Federal Reserve basically gave power to Fink. In 2008, during the bailout, the majority of the funds went to Larry Fink and BlackRock and basically put him in business to where he's at today. And so it's a very important. Larry Fink probably has more power than even the Federal Reserve chairman at this point. And very few people know his name. If you were to ask somebody in the streets, hey, do you know who Larry Fink is? They probably wouldn't be able to answer you. But Larry Fink is really the one that runs this country economically at this point. In all reality, BlackRock is the most powerful investment group, real estate, property holdings, all around. It's very, very powerful. So I'd recommend people check that out. There's a lot of interesting things Larry Fink said in there. And it really, he does describe where we're going in the future as the war is concerned. Again, the article you sent me the other day with Putin actually saying to the allies, we got plenty of time, we're going to take it slow. You know, that right there tells me that, again, the military contractors are making a crap load of money on this war like they always do. You know, Raytheon, we know that Raytheon's already deeply involved with Zelensky, and Lockheed Martin is actually also involved in this. So, again, war is a racket, and they're making a ton of money off weapon systems sent to Ukraine. And I'm sure if we dug deep enough, we could finally, you know, what's interesting is if I'm sure if we did research, we could find out who, where Putin is getting most of his money for his military products as well. But I sent you that article that I found interesting from the Jerusalem Post, Putin's Israeli condo apartment.
Yeah. I was a bit taken aback by that, you know, and, yeah, they're very bold about it, of course, just like all things Jewish in the Jewish press to their own people.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know this. So he's actually an apartment landlord now in Israel. he owns the whole complex, to be honest with you. But he originally bought the condo for his Jewish high school teacher. And he really was very close to her and bought that condo for her to live in. What a lot of people don't know is that in Israel, you have Hebrew and English basically being spoken there, but then Russian, the Russian language is spoken there. The Russian Jewish community is like the second largest population in Israel.
And it mentions all this in the Jerusalem Post, the J Post article about his school teacher.
Yes. And here's what's interesting. Did you know that the Russian Jews in Israel are allowed to vote in the Russian election because they have dual citizenship? So Putin received 81% of the Russian Jewish vote in Israel in the last election. And that's actually tallied and counted in the Russian election, by the way. He received 81% of the Jewish vote in Israel in the last election. He also had his own pub named after him in Israel, in Tel Aviv, called the Putin Pub. I think they've taken down that by now. But anyway, his connection, there's another article from the Jerusalem Post from 2019 that was very interesting. And the title of the article was, and people can search it out, Why Putin Loves Israel So Much. Okay? Very interesting. So this idea, and by the way, Israel... you know, of course, is doing talks with both sides, Zelensky and Putin. But Israel is not about to break ties with Russia or Putin when that is a huge voting bloc in Israel, frankly, the Russian Jews.
Oh,
there you go.
Paul, over to you, sir.
Yeah, fascinating. I did not know about him owning an apartment block there, but to my eye and overall antenna, he's always seemed very kosher to me. There's a great Frontline special that was done, I believe, in 2014 or 2015. You can still watch it on YouTube. And this Frontline special was about Putin and his rise to power. And, you know, he's been in power for a long time, and his rise to power there in Russia came on the heels of a very large, essentially an explosive event, you know, a building blew up. You know, very 911-esque. And there's all sorts of other scandals associated with him, and he's supposedly an extremely wealthy man on his own. So it's no surprise that things operate, you know, in a similar manner there that they do here. And again, you know, this idea that the ruling class, and we know who that is going to leave to chance, you know, or let go rogue a major power such as Russia, is pretty naive. And I guess the one other thing I'll add on that subject is, you know, we've all seen these photographs and also moving pictures, film from National Socialist Germany, and we've seen the film of the soldiers, you know, either standing still or walking by in their helmets, and we know what German faces, for the most part, look like. Well, you put Putin's face and head underneath a German helmet, and it's going to look different. You know, he doesn't really have an Aryan face, and I've always suspected that he's got a little bit of a touch of kosher gelatin in his background. And again, there's a reason why physiologically we look different, because that's the distinction that nature draws. So that's my two cents for the moment. And by the way, also Putin getting 81% of the vote. He got 81% more of the vote than I did. I'll tell you that right now.
Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing that concerns me in the latest conflict, and look, Zelensky is a Mossad Jewish piece of trash, to be honest with you. And I can't stand that guy. And, you know, it's very evil what they've done in Ukraine with the sex trafficking and all that. I'm just reporting on both sides here, because I think Rose Marie, when she was on the roundtable you had, Richard, last week, I think she was right. I mean, really, when you look at it, the more you look at it and the more you delve and research deep into this topic, you realize that it's a kosher war. And really, the only people that are going to suffer are the non-Jewish white Ukrainians and Russians and Europeans. And this really is an attack on the European race through this war. Again, World War One, World War Two, fratricide. You know, us fighting each other at the behest of the elite international Jew, and we end up wiping each other out. And that's what's going to happen at the end of the day in this, I fear. And the other thing I don't like about this conflict is that, you know, Paul brought up Putin's 9/11, which was the building that was blown up, many believe, by the FSB, Russian intelligence, and it was blamed on Muslim terrorists, which at that time were the Chechens. Well, guess what? Now he's sending Muslims, Chechens, to fight on the front lines in the Ukraine battle. There's also talk of him possibly sending in Chinese troops to fight in this battle. That is not good. And this is a pattern going back to the Bolshevik Revolution, to where most of the pillaging and raping by the Red Army during the Bolshevik Revolution was done by Mongolian Asiatic factions that were brought in to fight against the Russian establishment and to bring down the Tsar.
Right. And, okay. And right on the heel. And go ahead. I'm sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, actually, looks like we're coming up on the break.
On the break, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, if you could hold that. And we'll hear your thought on the other side, Paul. Stick around, folks. National Intel Report, Mike Sludge, Paul in California, with Richard Carey.
They came and took it all away. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
The National Intel Report. Richard Carey here tonight with Mike Sledge and Public Enemy Number One Paul in California. But Paul, you were going to remark further on all these topics: Putin, Russia, Chinese. Please, sir.
But it's specifically what Mike was talking about with the wars and essentially. The troops from the east that the Germans were so concerned about and put so many resources into dealing with Russia. You know, I'm not any World War II scholar, but I've always had, shall we say, an affinity and an affection for what was portrayed in movies and TV of the Germans, even though, you know, when I was younger, I didn't perceive a lot of the negative portrayal. But I just something about it resonated with me. And then, of course, the more that I've learned history, I'm even more on their side. I used to shock people with the fact that I wish the Germans had won the war and, you know, this sort of thing. I even used to say, starting back in the 90s, I wish I could go back in time and help them win the war with advice. But now fewer and fewer people are shocked by these sorts of sentiments. I think the internet has had a large part to do in waking people up, and just by casually exploring, I mean, even on YouTube, now it's not nearly what it was, but you can still find fairly pro, you know, German or pro-Aryan sorts of videos that look into these topics. And a lot of times when you look going further back in history, you see that Europe has always had to defend against invading hordes. And, you know, the defeat of the Mongols and the fact that we had to fight them more than a couple of times is, you know, one of the most significant events in history. When you think about it, I mean, really, you know, can you imagine the horror of Europe having mostly or all like slanted-eyed people? You know, it's like I shudder when I think about that. And this is fresh on the heels, Richard, of you having Jayant Bhandari as your guest yesterday, and he clarified my thinking even more in terms of both India and China. I had never really considered, but it does not surprise me, that the average IQ in India is hovering around 80 or so. But again, you know, he says that we do get the better ones here, but you can still sense the fact that they're not the cream of the crop, shall we say, the average one that you run into. And, you know, this is something that sooner or later we're going to have to deal with from a racial angle. Our enemy is definitely dealing with it from a racial angle. They make no bones about it, okay? They are anti-white. And I just am saddened by the fact that it's been a very long struggle, and it's a very slow boil to get most whites or a lot of whites to be explicitly pro-white. And that's really all you have to be considered a horrible monster these days, or a so-called racist, is to be explicitly pro-white. And I am both explicitly and exclusively pro-white in that other races, in my opinion, do not matter. The ones that are well-behaved, you know, and that are pro-white in the main, they're welcome to remain. But if I was to have any political power, the deportations that would take place would be, the list would be quite long. And, you know, we could start to build again. And that's all that Germany wanted to do, was secure a future for Europe. And you can see now that that future is quickly being set for them. And it is alarmingly and disturbingly non-white. So, but again, having said all that, I am hopeful, because there's nothing these people fear more than a bunch of organized, pissed off white people, and they are basically ensuring that that's going to come about. Just the only concern is the pace of it and the intensity of it, and that's something that I am hopeful for.
Yes, well, I was mentioning this past week, for that matter, Germany has been an occupied nation ever since the end of World War II. It hasn't been representing its people. You know, it hasn't had representatives of its own people or anything looking out for the German people. So much the opposite, that it's such a slap in the face at this point. And with the immigration and crime and rapes, which are allowed to continue, it's clear that it's being exacerbated to the breaking
right.
point there, even further than much of Europe, intentionally, as just a little private note from international Jewry. Go ahead, Paul. We're at the break.
Before the break, yeah, just quickly, I'm reminded of what we were talking about earlier with the legal system. And yes, I'll add to what Mike said about the fact that the legal system is now the enabler, the facilitator and the enabler of black and other non-white criminals.
Very true, and we'll touch on that further after the bottom of the hour. Check out these messages from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
What the truth? You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
No one can decide what we all must outrun. Who's gonna carry the weight of the world until we learn to stop and do what must be done?
And we are back, folks. The National Intel Report here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey hosting tonight, along with guests Mike Sledge and Paul in California. And as far as some new news in this war on white people you gentlemen speak of, well, it seems the Biden regime is having a new powwow with the Jewish lobby groups on this topic. We have this was sourced from Blacklisted News. Actually, Information Liberation, they got it from. But we have more people, according to an FBI agent, okay, quoted, we have more people assigned to investigate white supremacists than we can actually find. The Biden regime is planning on hosting a forum Thursday at the White House, together with the Anti-Defamation League and Southern Poverty Law Center, aimed at combating the, quote, explosive rise in extremism and white supremacy that threatens the core of America's democracy, unquote, the Washington Times reports. The United We Stand summit builds on the administration's push to root out racially motivated domestic violent extremists. The threat sparked a sweeping strategy that included the creation of a specialized justice department, unit to combat domestic terrorism. Mr. Biden will deliver the keynote address to highlight the administration's response to hate and, quote, put forward a shared vision for a more united America, unquote, officials said. And, of course, the usual cast of characters will be in attendance. We have some tweets about the event from the ADL. And remember, this event will be tomorrow, it seems. You know, tomorrow, I guess Thursday the 22nd. Tomorrow we will attend the White House's United We Stand. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, okay. No, it looks like this was from last Thursday then. Okay, yeah, this just happened last Thursday. So the ADL put out for it, we will attend the White House's United We Stand Summit, along with many other civil rights organizations and community leaders. Join us for remarks from POITAS and to learn our plans to protect our communities from targeted hate. And then we have another one from Jonathan Greenblatt, the ADL. Extremism and hate endanger us all, regardless of political persuasion. We all have a stake at the success of tomorrow's United We Stand Summit, and that will be determined by the concrete actions and steps that follow. Failure is not an option. Another from Jonathan Greenblatt. Communities must work together and speak with one voice about the threat of violent hate. I'm attending the White House United We Stand Summit tomorrow. This coalition is a major step in continuing the momentum from the summit and marking all our communities safer. Now, the Southern Poverty Law Center tweets about it. The SPLC looks forward to LaShawn Warren, SPLC Chief Policy Officer, attending United We Stand Summit to address hate-fueled violence and extremism. And we have a quote from the CEO of the SPLC in a meme posted, all right? When confronting bias-motivated hate, white supremacy, and violent extremism, words matter. Now, this was Margaret Hwang, president and CEO of the SPLC. And I decided, you know, I'll do a touch of digging on this one. And I just had a bit more curiosity to look into it, you know, because so much debate over China and Jewish power, and that includes Chinese Americans, I think is relevant here. So SPLC, their own website, folks. Margaret Hwang is the president and chief executive officer of the Southern Poverty Law Center and its lobbying arm, the SPLC Action Fund. An experienced human rights and racial justice advocate, Hwang leads the SPLC in its mission to serve as a catalyst for racial justice in the South, dismantling white supremacy, strengthening intersectional movements, and advancing the human rights of all. Early in her tenure at the SPLC, she guided the organization through pivotal moments in the nation's history that included the nationwide racial justice demonstrations of 2020 and the January 6th, 2021 insurrection. Hwang also has testified before Congress about the threat of hate and extremism. Throughout her career, she's championed social justice and human dignity, advocating against discrimination and oppression in all forms. Before joining the SPLC, Hwang served as the executive director of Amnesty International USA, where she was responsible for leading campaigns to protect the human rights of migrants and refugees, torture survivors, gun violence victims, and activists and protesters across the globe. Under her leadership, the organization developed several new initiatives while growing in financial resources by more than 50% over 4 years. She led several human rights missions. And hold on there, Paul. I want to mention these other points here, okay? Now, she is, ever since the 2020, okay, the president and chief officer there, and she was recently at this group meeting with various Asian American journalists in D.C., an informal gathering, they called it, strengthening ties with them. Okay, and now under her leadership, she's been, of course, I said, very much against any kind of pro-white groups in the South, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Georgia, and Florida. She says, as the South goes, so goes the nation. And she testified at congressional hearings on threats. Yeah, Huang testified at congressional hearings on threats against historically black colleges and universities and on the rise of far-right extremist groups, their infiltration of mainstream politics, and their direct attack on the Capitol on January 6th. She became the public face of the SPLC. But the pandemic, of course, had her largely exposed to the public, you know. But in late June, she's welcomed some of these prominent journalists, all members of the Asian American Journalists Association, for this intimate gathering in D.C. The event gave the SPLC an opportunity to showcase the deep research and programmatic expertise which can inform the journalists' stories, while at the same time extending the SPLC's public reach.
Please, and so, I can't take it anymore.
She's a Chinese immigrant father.
Panda Express lunch.
She's the daughter of a Chinese immigrant father, she talks about the growing demographics of Chinese in this country. But she's programming Chinese Americans to be anti-white what it really comes down to.
May I briefly react and pose a question to you? us, Richard. Remind Mike and I and the listeners, please, if you have the intelligence, this SPLC. That we've all heard about. You know, it's a major corporation. Remind us what they do. What is their product? What do they produce? Or what is the service they provide? I know they're very wealthy. They have millions and millions of dollars at hand for operating expenses. And I forget, what is it they manufacture again? I'm sorry. I don't hear anything.
Mike, you want to answer that? Anti-white hate. They manufacture the best anti-white hate you can buy, okay?
Yep.
But, you know, that they're also trying to get Asians and blacks to work together. They recognize how white supremacists are at the center of pushing division between the Asian community and black people, and now they have to be vigilant and conscientious of this, okay? We heard this from the SPLC media director. So it's amazing how they're weaponizing the Chinese in this way, but you do have Chinese American activists in these Jewish groups like the SPLC.
Well, I don't think Asians or Chinese have any love for blacks. Blacks don't really have any natural allies. I think that's pretty much a truth that we can all believe in. And I've actually said that for a very long time, and I've said it in comment sections of various websites. Black people do not have any natural allies. They are disliked by every group. So that just shows you how sick in the head these Jews are that are trying to do this. Everything they do is anti-natural, the perversion of natural order, and of course it's anti-white. And in the end, I think these people are going to be irrelevant. I mean, really all it would take to deal with the Southern Poverty Law Center is a couple of guys with the bulldozers and a wrecking ball and a couple of SWAT teams to pay some visits to people, and that's that. You know, all their propaganda and all their money, in the end, will buy them nothing. That's just my view, but of course I tend to be a little bit more radical than most people.
Mike?
Oh, yeah. They really rolled out this, the SPLC and the ADL really rolled out this program last year. Well, actually, it was like 2 years ago. If you recall, they started saying that black on Asian crime was really white on Asian crime, which was a lie. But they tried to control the narrative, saying that it was really white supremacy that were attacking Asian people in the streets of New York and L.A. and all this, which is total baloney. It was black on Asian crime. But they tried that. And they pushed the narrative. The media pushed the narrative. Because here's what the ADL and the SPLC understand. The black community, which they've used as a proxy against white people for a long, long time, is the same really number as they were for a long, long time, 13%. Okay, but here's the deal. The Hispanic is already a larger population, okay, and the Asian will surpass the black population in this country, the Asian population, the demographic, will surpass the black population as well. So what the ADL and SPLC understands is that these are the new proxies they're trying to radicalize against us now. They basically moved on from they're still going to use the blacks as a proxy, but they're more interested now in developing relations with the Hispanic and Asian communities against you and I. And here's a prime example. The president of Germany, Frank-Walter Steinmeier, went to Mexico a few days ago and urged Mexico to stand with the world against Russia. Now, what's interesting about this, he was invited to speak in Mexico City. Now, the mayor of Mexico City, who do you think the mayor of Mexico City is? This is hilarious. The mayor of Mexico City is Claudia Sheinbaum. Oy vey!
Of course.
Okay. And I used to watch C-SPAN back in the day used to show like the Mexican, what was the equivalent of the Mexican Congress and that kind of thing back in like the 90s. They really don't show it anymore. But all of the top politicians in Mexico, I'd say about 70% of them were Jewish. And all the important positions, Vicente Fox was Jewish, for God's sakes, the former prime minister or president of Mexico. So Mexico has a long-standing tie with the kosher community. And this German, the president of Germany's visit proves that, meeting with Mexico City's mayor, Claudia Sheinbaum. But this is the whole point. The ADL and the SPLC are moving with the changing demographics. And this is a very strategic, calculated thing, like you said, Richard, that this is changing the face of the SPLC from the Jew Mark Potok or Morris Dees, who was a pedophile, who, you know, people can look into that. He stole most of the money coming to the SPLC. He was the founder of it. He had perverted sex with his daughter or stepdaughter. This was all in the court documentation. He was a complete sicko. And then Mark Potok then took it over, who was completely insane. But now they're moving strategically with the Chinese face on the SPLC, which is a very smart move on their part. Because, again, radicalizing the new change in demographics, Asians and Hispanics are who they want to mobilize even more than the black community at this point.
Yes. No. When you look at the changing demographics, as you say, there's no way around that. And, yeah, again, this media director of the SPLC, talking about the organization's efforts to combat white nationalist narratives. It's interesting how a lot of these people act like critical race theory, that term, is just some sort of a myth conservatives made up. Huang noted that education and political reporters she spoke with already use SPLC resources such as Learning for Justice's AAPI tolerant curricula to educate audiences on hate, extremist state legislative attacks, on inclusive education. A boogeyman conservatives refer to as quote unquote critical race theory, and the Intelligence Project's Hate Watch. You know, a lot of you probably heard of that, which profiles and tracks far right extremist groups and leaders. Wasn't Mr. John Stadmiller on that? Anyway, attacks on so-called critical race theory are attacks on all American history, Huang said. So, but then of course we have some that openly use the term critical race theory in the promoting of this, and yes, this is something that, you know, blacks and other people of color didn't come up with on their own. This was all from these Jewish organizations, these Jewish agendas, that the critical race theory really got structured and institutionalized, certainly into the school system. It wouldn't have happened without Jewish power, obviously. Paul.
I'm sorry. I just got done, finishing my Panda Express lunch. The parts I keep down. You know, Wangstein, you know, this stuff is just so maddening. And in many cases, I'm glad I don't access it. Mike Sledge just taught me a couple of things that I did not know before. The mayor of Mexico City, you know, these are the kind of things that I don't know if I used to bump into them or, you know, be interested in them. But, of course, it's no surprise. And people forget, you know, how many Jews there were in Spain. I mean, they did. Queen Isabella, you know, did try to expel them all, but you know, it's just, you never get them all. And a lot of the, you know, they've always been, you know, merchants and aggressive in business. So a lot of these Sephardim went to the New World. So it's no surprise they should rise to the top in these other countries, whether they came from there or whether they were placed, you know, in either case. So yes, we're in a pickle, and but the good thing is we have a formula. Okay, the formula that was provided to us by the National Socialists. And in this particular case, we could even be better off because we will be separated or isolated by two large oceans, and we will already have tremendous, shall we say, natural wealth as well as military technology and so forth. All these things that the Germans were, you know, in many ways very landlocked, surrounded in very close proximity by enemies, and they made some strategic mistakes, unfortunately. I mean, they had to devote the majority of their forces to Russia, and had they simply made a couple of strategic decisions, they could have prevailed in that war actually quite easily. I've read a little bit about the D-Day invasion, and it was a fairly close thing, even though the Germans had only devoted 9 divisions in the West, from what I've been able to understand, as opposed to 200 German divisions that were in the East. And, in fact, even with their 9 divisions in the West, if they had just moved more quickly with their armor, Hitler basically had been holding back on the armor because he felt that the bigger invasion at Calais was still to come. And that was because the Allied propaganda program was successful. But they could have repelled the invasion from the West easily with a few more divisions and some tactical moves. And we could have a different world, and especially if they had devoted, if they had made the decision earlier to go forward with the jet engine. They had the jet engine technology as early as late 1942 going into 1943. And their production, if the war had continued, their production was set to ramp up to nearly 500 units a month by May of 1945. It had been steadily ramping up until then. And if they could have just got enough jet fighters in the sky with enough skilled pilots, that would have been that. Anyway, I'm lamenting, you know, because, well, I don't know, what else can we do these days?
Yeah, well, you're on two different, you know, back to the war as well as talking about our current situation and our situation as far as land and, well, a lot more land than in Europe. And, of course, the oceans, in theory, but that, you know, a lot of people talk about how National Socialism was something implemented for the time and place, okay? I mean, the idea of socialism and variants appealed to the people of the time, as did nationalism. You would need something a little more custom-made for the United States and for this time period, regardless of whether it was incorporating racial realism or not, which I think is intrinsic. It has to, if it's going to work moving onward. I don't really see how we can allow the trend that has begun to go any further without completely losing the high trust society we have, the freedoms that we have. Mike?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. It's going to be, we're going to have to come up with something a little different here in this country, kind of custom tailor-made for the Americans. But I'll tell you this. The thing that gives me hope is this, the two fake parties, the Democrats and Republicans, are, you know, neither one of them are addressing the most important political struggle that's taking place now, and that is the plight of the working class in this country and the diminishing middle class in this country. And the good news is there's a big gap there to be filled by a new political movement that rises up. I believe there will be something that will rise up as this thing collapses even more and more. But the way to success is very simple. It is having a political movement that represents the interest of the white working class in this country. That's originally the coalition that got Donald Trump elected in 2016, because he talked about bringing the manufacturing base back. He talked about the Rust Belt. He talked about the opioid epidemic affecting working class whites in Appalachia and all this kind of stuff. Those were the topics that put him in the White House. Unfortunately, he never followed through on any of it. But that is the winning way to go, is to focus on white labor. the white working class. That is the key to victory. And that gap is wide open for a political movement to totally take on. So from a political standpoint, that would be how you would do it here, I believe. But yeah, they are aligning the masses, the changing demographics against our people. And I fear, and I've said this on the last couple shows of Don't You Richard, but I really do believe this, and I hate to say it. I hope I'm wrong. I fear that war is on the horizon. And I listened to Putin's speech today, as well as Joe Biden's UN speech. The rhetoric's already shaping up. I know how this works. It's the same pattern they always use. And Germany is sending military weaponry into Ukraine as well. They're having the big vote. They're trying to have a vote on the 23rd through 25th in the Donbass of Russian separation. Everything is really escalating here, fake or not. My concern, and the only concern that I have, is that these wars, always the people that pay the cost for these wars are the European people, are the white people. Or, you know, it's just like here in America, the people that pay the highest price for wars, these Zionist wars, these Jewish wars in America, are Southern white males who always are in the front lines of all these wars for Jewish expansion. Europe, already we're facing a dark winter there, a cold winter with the energy crisis. This is an attack on our people. And I really do fear it's going to be a brutal next 6 months to a year. I hate to say it, but that's what I believe. Anyway.
Yeah, no, I would like to say that I have a more optimistic opinion, but all signs point to this. Sure, it makes the military-industrial complex wealthier, but I do think that they want to weaken the people of Europe and America. And just what you say, most white males in America are already at least on the path toward more right-leaning, based on how things have already been moving with social engineering and the anti-white agenda. The only ones left, you know, are just, you know, very left, far left indoctrinated, and there might not be any hope for them. But yeah, at the same time, people, will they get radicalized enough to make the change necessary to take back? That's not something you're very optimistic about. We've discussed this quite a bit, and that's why so-called accelerationist theory, you know, seems to be your philosophy. I mean, because of course there are no legal remedies, there are no political remedies at this point. If you care about your children and your children's children, especially, you really need things to get over and done to start rebuilding, like the Phoenix Rising. Mike,
here's the music that is, you know, we're just simply running out of time with the demographics. 10 more years would be poison. Even just 10 more years. 2 million already since Biden got elected. Just left over anyway.
Absolutely. Well, stick around for hour two, folks, of the National Intel Report. Mike Sledge in Pauling, California. Richard Carey hosting. And please support the station. Stick around. We'll be back.
We must take America back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.